Amen. If you've got your Bible with you this morning, if we can turn to the book of Acts, I'm going to read from chapter 4, verses 1 through to 31, I believe. I want to look this morning at boldness and courage. So from verse 1, so just before this chapter, the apostles had been involved in seeing God heal someone, the man who was asking for alms but was given legs, if you remember that miracle. Just to give us some background to this chapter. So we'll start from verse 1. Now as they spoke to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. And it came to pass on the next day that their rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marvelled, and they realised that they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go out aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For indeed that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them, that from now on they speak to no man in this name." So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. For the man was over 40 years old, on whom this miracle of healing had been performed. And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, "Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea, and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, 'Why did the nations rage, and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you appointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. We need to be a people that speak the word of God with boldness. Here we see in the book of Acts, Peter and John, they just healed, or seen God heal, I should say, a lame man. It was an undeniable miracle. Here was a man who was born lame. He was over 40 years old. And in the sight of all the people, God healed him. And this gave Peter and John the opportunity to preach the gospel and to proclaim the resurrection from the dead through Jesus. And of course, this upset the Sadducees, who was a sect of the Jews that did not believe in the resurrection. And it upset the religious leaders of the day. And Peter and John were jailed and brought before the Sanhedrin. They were questioned. And what is clear from the scripture that we just read is that Peter and John had a boldness and a courage that was beyond normal. They were empowered by the Holy Spirit. It tells us in verse 13 that they were ordinary men. They were unschooled. They were uneducated. And yet, they could be seen to have this confidence and this boldness that was evident to all. And when they returned to the church prayed to God to embolden the church and to perform healings and miracles through the name of Jesus. And it says that the church was all filled with the Holy Ghost, and the place literally shook. And the Bible says they spoke the word of God boldly. You know, we need prayer meetings like that in this day and age, don't we? And more to the point, we need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And we want to see God move in healings and signs and wonders in the day in which we live. You know, the church needs it as much now as it did then. We need the boldness and empowerment of God from on high. The days in which we live, it's going to get harder and harder to live as a Christian in our society. Laws are changing. The freedoms that we once took for granted are slowly being eroded away from us. And it's going to be harder, and there's going to be persecution. And we may well have to face persecution in our generation and increased opposition to the message of the gospel. And if that happens, then what we need as a church is the enabling of the Holy Spirit and the boldness and courage that can only come from God. And it's important that you and I realise that it does come from God. This is not just Dutch courage that we're talking about here. This is not natural courage, but it's empowerment from on high. It's empowerment that comes from the anointing and the power of the Holy Ghost. And that's what we need to be able to speak the word of God with boldness, with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. So how do we get this boldness? The answer is here in this chapter. The church prayed collectively for this empowerment. They prayed, and then God filled them with his Spirit, and they proclaimed the word of God with boldness. You and I, we're not naturally bold, are we? You know, one of the main battles that you can face as a believer is intimidation. It's not always easy to proclaim the truth, especially when you're the only one amongst a crowd of people. Especially when it's to a people who will oppose what you say. None of us likes confrontation. Nobody wants to be mocked or scorned or rejected. And the message that we preach isn't a popular message in this day and age in which we live. We live in a generation that has largely rejected God, that is pleasure-seeking, that is self-centered. So to confront this generation with a message which confronts sin and holds them to account before God for their actions and choices, it doesn't always go down well, does it? To speak of righteousness and sin and the judgment to come is not going to be welcomed with open arms. To call sin, sin, to a generation whose main philosophy is everybody doing what is right in their own eyes, and who are you to judge me, is the mentality of our day. That makes you and I an anathema to them. We shouldn't be surprised when men find our words unpalatable or dismiss them with mocking unbelief. Didn't Jesus forewarn us that if they hated him, they're going to hate us? We'll be hated for his name's sake. It says in the scripture that those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. It's perfectly normal for you and I, being ordinary men and women, to experience intimidation. In fact, Satan wants to intimidate us when we dare to tread into his kingdom and proclaim the truth. I can remember back in the early days when I got saved, being a new Christian, one of the first outreaches, Alan, in Warrington, and walking towards the town centre for the first time with a bunch of gospel tracts in my pocket. And I can remember the feeling of utter intimidation I experienced as I walked towards the town centre to give out tracts. And it seems the closer I got to the town centre, the more intimidated I felt, and a fear came upon me. But when I got to the entrance to the shopping mall there, and the moment I started giving out tracts, I got filled with the Holy Ghost. And that was God's grace, I think, teaching me that we have to step out in faith and put aside those fears. God empowers us to do the task in hand. That intimidation that can come upon us is a spirit of fear. But the Bible says, he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You see, fear and timidity are not from God. God has given us a spirit of power, it says, of love, of a sound mind. The only fear we should have is the fear of the Lord. And that's a healthy fear. That's a fear of reverence towards God, of holding God in a high esteem and wanting to please him by departing from evil and iniquity and sin. That's the fear of the Lord. But the intimidation of men, the fear of persecution and rejection, is not from God, but it comes often from self-preservation and often pride and a spirit of fear. But what matters is what we do with the fear. It's natural to feel fear, but we have to submit to God, and through him we can overrule the fear. Through him we can be emboldened so that we can step out in faith and obey him. It's good for us to know, us who have committed our lives to God, what we've let ourselves in for. The Bible doesn't pull any punches, does it? You and I, you know, we have the most wonderful gift available, the salvation of our souls, the forgiveness of God, the blessings of a saved life, the hope of eternal life, empowerment for this life, the love of God poured into our hearts. But we also have to know that there's also going to be opposition to what we believe. Even sometimes and often from within our own hearts. There's an enemy of our souls, Satan, who walks around, it says, like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He accuses us, it says, before God day and night. He wants to wear out the saints of the Most High God. We're in a spiritual warfare. We're fighting not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in the heavenlies. Demonic forces that fire poisonous arrows and fiery darts aimed at our souls and minds and hearts. We're in a war. There is an enemy. And we will face persecution for our faith. There is opposition to the message that's preached. People hated Jesus for what he stood for the message that he preached. And if they hated him, it says they're going to hate us. It's not us, when they mock us, it's not us that they're mocking, it's God that they mock. It's God that they hate. It's God that they oppose. They rise up and band together, as it says in the scripture, against God and against his Christ. They rage at God. Jesus told us to expect persecution. They hated him and they'll hate us for loving him. But you and I as believers need to know that we have access to a power beyond ourselves. The supernatural empowerment of God, the Holy Spirit living in us, empowering us to be bold, to live a holy life in an unholy world, to live a godly life in an ungodly age, to walk in garments of white in a world that's defiled by sin. We have a helper who is from on high, a God who can give us a word in due season, who can teach us what to speak and give us wisdom beyond ourselves. God gives to those who lack if they will ask. In ourselves, we are weak vessels this morning, aren't we? We're fearful. We lack confidence in our own flesh. But God is able to make us strong. Look at the Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians 2, 1 to 5. He says there, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Ephesians 3 verse 8 says, "To me, who am less than the least of all saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Therefore I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory." So here is Paul, a man beset with weakness, who we're told had a thorn in his flesh, some kind of infirmity, many speculate on, who admitted he was weak, that he was fearful and trembling before men. And yet, through the grace of God, he was used in the most powerful way to proclaim the mystery of the gospel to the Gentiles in the power of God. In boldness and confidence in God, his speech and his preaching, he says, were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that our faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And he tells us in verse 12 of Ephesians chapter 3 that it's in God that we have boldness and access to the Father through faith in Christ. You see, God is the source of our boldness, our confidence, not self-effort, not Dutch courage, but empowerment from on high. Of course, the opposite to courage is cowardice. When we give in to intimidation or fear, and we don't act as we ought to, then that is a cowardice. A moral courage is when we obey despite the intimidation and the fear, even when we know it can cause us harm and hurt. I'm sure all of us, if we're honest, have failed at one time or another to speak up when we know we should have done, or failed to act when we ought to have done. And this is often because of intimidation and fear. But in Christ, we no longer need to yield to our fears and our natural self-preservation mode. We need to act in faith and obedience to God. And that means stepping out of our comfort zones, out of the easy into the uneasy. No one likes to be the odd one out this morning, or to be laughed at, or to be made to feel stupid, or to be mocked, or to be rejected, or to be hated. But you know, when you signed up to serve Jesus, you gave your life to him. You surrendered your will to his. You left all to follow him. You're now a walking dead man, dead to the old life, to the old you. You died so that Christ may live in you. You handed the steering wheel of your life over to God. We sing, he is Lord. And that is what he is, isn't he? He's Lord. That means we submit to his will, to his authority in our lives. We let him be in control. knowing that we serve a loving Heavenly Father who cares for us, who knows all that we go through, who gives us all that we need to serve and obey Him. In the Old Testament, there was a guy called Gideon that I'm sure you all know. And here was a man who was fearful. He lacked confidence. And yet the Lord called him a mighty man of valour. Here was a man who defeated the Midianites with an army of just 300 men against thousands. Because the battle was the Lord's and not his. And it was God who empowered him. It was God who gave him courage. In the book of Judges, chapter 6 and 11, it says, "Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under a terebinth tree which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abizrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, 'The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valour.' Gideon said to him, 'O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites.' Then the Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent you?' Verse 15, 'So he said to him, O my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house.' And the Lord said to him, 'Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man.'" So here you see Gideon was pleading with God that his clan was the weakest, that he was the least of his father's house. But God said to him, "Surely I will be with you." See, Gideon was afraid. Gideon had low self-esteem. He felt weak. He felt unable. But God said, "Have I not sent you? Am I not with you?" And we can feel weak and unable. We can come up with all the excuses as to why we're feeble and why we cannot do what God says. But God says to us, "You mighty man of valor." God says to us, "Have I not sent you?" He says to us, "Surely I am with you. The battle belongs to the Lord. He fights for us. We just have to step out." We're not here to defend God this morning, by the way. God doesn't need defending. But we are here to simply proclaim the truth when the opportunity presents itself. And what men choose to do with the truth is their responsibility before God. Our responsibility is to make it known. And God will show us where and when that's the right thing to do. The rest is up to Him. He will keep us. He will preserve us. Sometimes we may have to suffer. The Bible tells us that. We may have to go through tribulations and persecutions, mockery and rejection. Sometimes, even within our own family and friends, painful as it is. But if we're in the will of God this morning, we needn't fear. God is our helper. God is the one who keeps us. And if we're in His will, we'll be blessed indeed. What we need is boldness in the days in which we live. You know, it's not getting any easier out there, is it? The times are a-changing, as the old song goes. Laws are changing. Things are winding down as we get towards the end of the age. And it's only going to get worse out there. We live in perilous times. But if we'll keep our eyes on God and remain faithful to Him who called us, then we won't be swept away and shipwrecked, but be those that will be found faithful by the grace of God. But one thing for sure, we won't be able to stand in our own strength and power. We need the empowerment of the Holy Ghost. We need the emboldenment of God. We need His strength day by day. His grace is what is sufficient for us. His strength is made perfect by our weakness. We need to pray every day for God to strengthen our inner man, to give us the boldness that we need to live daily in the will of God and to proclaim His truth to this generation. Proverbs 28:1 in closing. The wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. We need to be bold as a lion, church. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Lord God, we just pray. We thank you, Lord God, that you have saved us. We thank you that you've empowered us, Lord God, and we pray that you'll continue to fill us with your Holy Spirit and empower us to go out into this world and proclaim your truth with boldness, Lord, and empowerment from on high. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Can we sing 613? It ties in very